listen to the music.
Welcome in. It's Saturday afternoon, and it's another edition of Woods and Water, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Hey, Taylor.
Hi, Dad.
How you doing?
I'm just dandy.
Just dandy.
That's my new word, dandy.
That's a Western word.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Dandy. That's what they say out west.
Fun.
It's fun. That's a dandy. That's an elk or mule deer. That's a dandy.
I don't say it like
they
that.
They also say it about Eastern boys that try to be cowboys. He's a dandy. Just telling you my life experience.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
West, out west, they're different out there. I like them, though. I really do like them.
Western or Southern?
Westerners.
Really?
I like Westerners. They're a little different. They're a lot more independent than we are, for the most part, unless you get into cities and all. Just your average, ordinary Westerner. He's a gritty man. I like him. My kind of people. Of course, South's got a lot of my kind of people, too.
Yeah, I better say.
And we know at least one good one from Michigan.
We do.
Yeah, we do. Nice guy. Alex Cooley. Nice guy. Yep, very nice. But, yeah, welcome into another show. We are, it's Memorial Day weekend.
It is.
Some of you are already out there celebrating and having a good time. Monday's official Memorial Day holiday. So a three-day weekend for those of you who have gone back to work after Corona and all. And so, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about boating safety. Big push. This Memorial Day weekend always kicks off the 100 days of summer. Some people say the 100 deadliest days. When people are out doing a whole lot more boating and vacationing and, you know, things you don't do in the wintertime or any other time of the year. Are you on? Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyway, that's the show today. And adjust that a little bit. And then we got some other stuff. Things are opening back up, Taylor.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Lots of things to do.
Excited.
So let's jump into it. We might as well. It's calendar event, as always.
Brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Wine Landing and Event Center. You got to give me
a She's a little slow on the uptake today, folks,
it's
but
okay.
She'll get it.
I will. Go
you,
ahead.
You want to go first or last?
You go ahead.
Okay, I'll go first.
I'm never last, but
oh.
I'm next.
Okay. Well, from the South Carolina Forestry Commission, this is one closure, but it's temporary. Please be advised that Harbison State Forest is going to be closed to the public while the Forestry Commission conducts forest management activities in several parts of the property. The temporary closure encompasses the entire forest, including all trails, parking lots, and the Office Education Center. We apologize for the inconvenience. The forest likely will reopen to the public in mid-June. So, that's really the only closure, and that's for maintenance stuff. It's not for Corona.
Corona. Well, Sassafras Mountain Tower and Bald Rock reopen Wednesday, May 20th, but there's a catch.
What's the catch?
You have to social distance.
Don't say that on this program.
I just did.
No, I'm going to stomp on your pinky toe, too.
It's for your information.
Well, just say, like, keep a little distance between yourselves or something, but I don't use that. We're being conditioned.
Also, it says avoid large groups of visitors.
Well, I mean, just spread out a little bit. Bald Rock and Sassafras Mountain.
Yep.
Sassafras is a cool place. It's really a neat place. If you haven't been up there, you can drive almost to it. the path up to it is paved. And the observation deck is really cool. I was up there for the grand opening back Earth Day, I think it was, of last year. Has it been that long, or was that this spring?
Oh, I feel like maybe it was last year.
Really? Holy smoke. Maybe it was last year. Okay. Really, this time just runs together. Okay. The Sedalia Campground and Ennery Passage Trailhead on the Sumter National Forest have reopened. The campground near Union, South Carolina, has potable water and toilets. Trailhead provides direct access to the 36-mile section of the Palmetto Trail that spans the National Forest. Brick House and Woods Ferry Campgrounds are also open on the Ennery Ranger District. So there. More openings. More things to go and do.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've got a really cool one of my favorites. Mount Pleasant, y'all may know Boone Hall Plantation is there.
Yes.
They will reopen to the public Thursday, May 1st with actually a new leader.
Which was the other day, yeah. New man in charge.
Yep. And then there will be open Memorial Day weekend.
Well, who's the new man in charge?
Jim Westerhold.
Hmm. Where'd he come from?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Where does it say? What am I missing? Oh, he was a professor of forestry wildlife department at Georgetown Technical College.
Yeah.
Wow. How did I miss that?
I don't know. Anyway, go continue on.
Then after Memorial Day, the plantation will be open Thursday through Sunday. Special admission will be $15, ages 13 and up, $5 for children 12 to 6, and then children 5 and under admitted for free.
And I think that's a really big deal. Mm-hmm. Price break. From the Forest Service, Francis Marion Sumpter National Forests, Buck Hall Boat Ramp in Charleston County is back open. Has reopened the Buck Hall Boat Ramp and parking area on the Intercoastal Waterway in Charleston County. It includes the boat ramp and boat launch and vehicle parking areas. The campground and restrooms will remain closed for the time being. A day use fee of $7 for vehicle to use the boat ramp. And they're available on site. I think it's one of those pay-as-you-go type things with a little box and all. You can get a yearly parking pass for $40 down there. We expect high use of the boat ramp for the Memorial Day holiday.
I'm sure.
And I want to remind visitors, continue to use caution and dispose. That's something that we read all the time. Use caution, dispose of all trash. Yeah, there's still some of those places that are operating on limited personnel, you might say. And anything we can do to help clean up helps them out.
Exactly.
Great.
South Carolina Department of Natural Resources released Friday that all unmanned ranges will have reopened May 15th. The Pellicola Range in Hampton County and Belfast in Lawrence County. There are some guidelines. Every other shooting position is closed. No more than 2 shooters may shoot on a shooting position at a time. So just follow those rules and everything will go smoothly.
And that's another word to pack out your trash, people. Goodness gracious alive, please. Okay, we're getting close here, folks. DNR has fully staffed the boat titling and licensing office at the State Farmers Market in West Columbia. However, they're still at full capacity, but they're not doing in-person transactions. All services can be completed by phone, online, or by U.S. mail. And I stuck all the stuff in the U.S. mail for our boat this past week, and I am hoping and praying it gets there. But anyway, they'll be able to complete stuff quicker, and they'll get to you hopefully soon. They do say please allow 4 to 6 weeks for applications. But as I found out, you know, if it's currently titled, you have a bill of sale or something like that, you can go and do.
And kind of on the fishing side again, there's a fundraiser tournament that will be held on Lake Murray May 30th for Colton Wells and Parker Lee Sullivan to help for their cost for their trip to La Crosse, Wisconsin for the High School World Finals in June. That will be June 23rd through 27th. They'll be blasting out of Buffalo Creek Landing at Safe Light until 2 p.m. Two people to a boat, unless you're a high school angler. Your captain can be present but cannot touch a rod. 5 fish limit. The bass must be at least 14 inches long. 50% of entry fees collected will go to the winning boat. So that would be a very good thing to fish if you are looking for something good to do with that weekend.
We're not really confident. We're not sure yet that lacrosse is going to happen. They're going to have it sometime. That weekend may change, though.
It will. But we'll definitely keep y'all posted on that.
All right. Well, hang on through the break. Pulling out an oldie goldie from 2017 talking about boating safety. Hope you enjoy it. Hang on.
Yeah, I miss you too. But I'll be home real soon.
Boating safety starts with rules like everything else. And there's rules for the road for boaters, just like there are rules for road for car drivers or whatever.
Correct.
And those help you avoid accidents. Rules of the road. Run them down for us.
Yeah, first and foremost, just, you know, we want people to come out and have a good time, but also to operate in a safe and responsible manner, practicing good seamanship, just being courteous, you know. Everybody's out there to have a good time, and sometimes it gets a little stressful based on the density of boats in a particular area. But, you know, we all need to be responsible. We're out in the general public. We're all out there to have a good time. But be responsible for your boat and the actions of your boat, the people on your vessel. You know, that captain, he's responsible for the people on board. So, but it's just necessary to know things about boating. Who has the right of way? How to safely and correctly avoid take action to avoid a collision. The number one cause of a boating incident in the state of South Carolina past few years is just simple not maintaining a proper lookout. The operator is inattentive to what's going on. You know, they've come out to have a good time on the lake, but be the landscape, looking at the houses, the conversation in the boat, the distraction from the folks on board, whatever it might be. So many times it's just as simple as they're not looking where they're going. And it's so important to remember to maintain a sharp lookout, as that is the number one contributor. But, you know, other elements, safe speed, and that's contingent on a lot of things, traffic volume, weather conditions, visibility, the time of day, you know, the basic, what's that operator's experience level? Do they have less than 10 hours in operating? Do they have more than 100? But just follow the rules of navigation, be that courteous boater, and pay attention to those navigational aids that are out there.
Got a few little people coming down to enjoy the lake this afternoon, don't we?
got the tunes.
Got the tunes rolling. Yeah. You know, my dad, when I started driving, said, head on a swivel. And it's no different when you're out there on the water. Your head's got to be on a swivel when you're in control of that boat. Or even as a passenger. You know, yeah, the boat captain's responsible. But, man, when you're a guy sitting beside him,
oh, yeah. You
know, you can almost watch half of what the boater's trying to watch while he's driving and help him out.
So imperative for that operator to have good field of vision around and situational awareness. You know, that's why it's important where people are placed sitting in the boat, not to block the view of that operator.
One of the biggest things you can do to avoid, or if you happen to have an accident, one of the things that's going to keep you alive is your life jacket.
Yes.
Rules on life jackets, and one thing that I want to hit is size appropriate. We talk about that a lot. You don't go buy an adult life jacket and stick it on a 7-year-old kid.
Correct. Yeah, life jackets for us are a zero tolerance issue throughout the state. So important. And that is true on public waters, on private waters, on Granddaddy's Farm Pond or, you know, Uncle Joe's Pond over there. That's considered private water. But we recommend safety equipment there. But when you come to public waters, it is essential safety equipment. Again, on a vessel, it's that captain's responsibility to ensure there's an ample quantity of PFDs for all persons on board or those being towed, and that they're size appropriate for the intended wearer, and that they are in good serviceable condition and readily accessible. When we say readily accessible, we're not talking about in a bag or wrapped in the plastic that they came in when they were purchased. Things like that. And if, keep in mind, too, if a vessel is less than 16 feet, then all persons under the age of 12 must properly wear their life jackets. The sizing of those PFDs are going to be based on body weight and chest size. And it'll also have a label showing that it's U.S. Coast Guard approved. When we talk about those different sizes, you'll see sizes specific for infants, toddlers, youth, less than 90 pounds, adult, greater than 90 pounds. Then we'll get up to XL, 2XL. And so it's very important to make sure that those life jackets are size appropriate and that they're Coast Guard approved. A lot of times the box stores, you know, they're in business to sell merchandise. And so people go in and they see these life jackets that look cool for the kids, or the kids, ooh, mama, I would like to buy that. I want that one. That's got jelly beans, or it's got the, you know, my cartoon character, my hero on there. And you purchase it and you look at the label inside and it notes that this is not a personal flotation device. This is a flotation aid.
Okay.
So very important to recognize what is and what isn't. But again, size is appropriate. That's
And DNR is going to offer a bunch of checks over the Memorial Day weekend, spread all across the state at different lakes, different boat ramps along the coast and all. What are some of the other required pieces of safety equipment you got to have on your boat before you hit the water this summer?
Well, when we talk about non-powered vessels, let's talk about like kayaks, canoes, or the greatest new fad is paddle boards. Those are considered non-powered vessels. So their basic requirement is a size-appropriate life jacket for everyone on board. They don't have to have it on, but they've got to have it. But yet, remember that dimension, if it's less than 16 feet and they're under the age of 12, they'll have to be wearing it.
Okay.
And then the other element that they'll need is a sounding device, a whistle or horn. So each one of those, each kayak needs its own whistle or horn individually. And a great place to put it is right there at the neck of the on the chest of the
life jacket,
where it's easily accessible. Because a lot of times they've proven in distress, the human voice won't last more than 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay.
And if you can access that whistle and hit it and get somebody's attention to come to you, you're better off. But know too, if that whistle's up there on the key switch of the boat and you're in the water, it's not going to do you a lot of good.
That's right.
But other elements there, safety equipment, your fuel tank is detachable. It's in an open, let's say we're in a John boat or
right.
a E-haul fishing
mm-hmm.
boat. We won't need a fire extinguisher if we're under 16 feet.
Okay.
If we're greater than 16 feet, we'd need it. If we're in a bass boat and we've got a gas tank that's closed in the compartment, or if we're in a center console and our fuel tank is actually in the hull of the vessel, then we're going to need that fire extinguisher. And the type we're going to need is a B1.
Okay.
That's for combustibles. That's for gas.
All right.
And again, you know, if you're in a smaller boat, it doesn't hurt to have one because
sure.
it's like an insurance marker. You might not need it, but somebody that you come across may be grateful and appreciative that you've got it.
Okay.
A Type 4 throwable. Again, if your vessel's less than 16 feet, that's not required. But I'm here to tell you, the years I grew up fishing in a little V-hull or John boat,
you turn those over a whole lot more. You turn over a bass boat.
They were comfortable to sit
that's
on.
That's true. You're right.
And there again, if you came across somebody that was in distress, you can throw that. You know, the Type 1, 2, 3, or Type 5 life jackets, if you attempt to throw those, it's like throwing a bag of potato chips.
Right.
It's not going to go far.
Right.
So that Type 4 is required. And again, we go back to the sounding device, the whistle or horn. And then it's not necessarily a piece of safety equipment, but it's just a requirement. If that vessel is motorized, then it's going to need to be registered, titled,
right. mm-hmm.
and have those registration numbers and registration decal. You know, if I have a kayak or canoe and I put a trolling motor on it, based on Webster's Dictionary, that boat, that vessel has become motorized.
Right.
So, and again, that's only if we're on public waters.
Gotcha. Consumption of alcohol in boating.
Yes.
It's a big deal. I don't think a lot of people that drink know how fast hot days and sunlight, you know, works with alcohol. What are the state laws or the boating rules regarding alcohol consumption?
Basically, in South Carolina, the law prohibits anyone from operating a moving motorized vessel or a boat under sail in the waters of the state, and that's, again, on public waters, or under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or any combination of alcohol and drugs.
Okay.
We know as adults that the impaired drug and alcohol and drugs cause impaired balance, blurred vision, poor coordination, impaired judgment, slower reaction time. We see alcohol as a factor, a major factor. There are days that we don't see it at all out on the lake, which are good. We welcome that, but there are days, and we see people that are responsible. They've got a designated operator, but the same out here on the road where it's at a 0.08 BAC, blood alcohol, concentration. That's where we are out here for BUIs.
Okay.
A BUI does not affect your driver's license. Okay. It doesn't affect your car insurance, anything thereof. It's a simple monetary fine. The boater loses their privileges to operate a vessel, actually suspended really indefinitely until they successfully complete an alcohol drug safety action program, or an ADSAP class, at their expense, and successfully complete a South Carolina boating safety class. Okay. And, you know, our instructor-led classes are free.
Okay.
So, again, it's just getting people to come out and understand that. Monetarily, you know, to kind of get some people's attention, a BUI, the monetary fine can go up to 6 months.
Okay.
And it carries up to 3 years of imprisonment. A felony BUI, there again, that's a little different. There's a little more to that. If we've had property damage or bodily injury or death, then that penalty monetarily, it steps up to $25,000, up to 25 years imprisonment.
Wow.
And there again, something folks need to remember is a person who operates in a vessel in South Carolina is considered to have given implied consent to a chemical test or breath analysis, or blood or urine. Okay, when they operate a vessel in the state, that's just, that's, it's in the statute there. So that's, but it's so important people understand, you know, you get out here, it's a hot day, you're somewhat dehydrated, you haven't eaten, that one drink may have an effect on you as three.
Okay.
If you were, you know, alcohol we know is a depressant on the central nervous system, and it affects your judgment and reaction time. And we're out here on the water, these boats don't have brakes.
No, they don't.
And it's so critical to have, be alert, you know.
Yeah.
What we said earlier in the conversation about maintaining that proper lookout, that safe lookout.
You and I were talking before, we've already had 4 deaths in the state this year on the water.
Right.
And whole purpose of this is to just inform you, because we don't want you to be number 5.
No. Last year we had 23 fatalities due to boating accidents across the state. As we've said before, one is too many.
Absolutely. So. Well, I tell you, that water looks awfully good out there on the lake. We hope you all get out there this summer and enjoy it to the fullest. Only thing we ask is you know what you're doing while you're out there, you pay attention, and at the end of the day, you load the boat back up on the trailer and you go home.
For another day and come back again.
That's it. Henry, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, see you, talk to you. Appreciate you doing this for us and for everyone listening.
Thank you.
Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people are going to be hanging with some tunes out on the boat.
Hopefully better tunes than mine.
Oh, hopefully good tunes like this. Good stuff. Good stuff. Welcome back. You know, boating safety. It is Memorial Day weekend. 100 days of summer starts now. Boating safety is paramount. One thing I did want to say in there are no DNR safety checks. That was, like I said, I went back and found that one from 2017 with Henry Barnett, who has since retired. And I mentioned boating safety. On a normal year, there would be complimentary boating safety checks at various ramps across the state, but they're not doing that this year. So don't count on that. They'll be out in force. I can assure you that. So you had best go through your own boating safety checkpoint before you get to the lake this weekend. And Henry hit on some good things. Life jackets being the biggest one. Mm-hmm. But there are more. And the DNR website has plenty of help. Taylor, you got some stuff from the website. I got some from the U.S. Coast Guard. And just a few things that we didn't touch that you need to think about before you go out on the water. Not only this weekend, but any time you're out on the water.
Yeah, exactly. So whenever you go to the DNR website and look under boating safety, they have 2 sections, before you leave and on the water. One of the first things listed on the before you leave section is the DNR float plan. And that's going to kind of be your usual, you know, what's your boat color and make? What's your launch site?
Well, this is something you fill out and leave with somebody. Yeah.
And so, like, what's your launch site? What's your departure time? Route to be taken? Vehicle color and make? And vehicle tag number? And then you want to give your estimated time of arrival in case you are not back by that time. Then they may come looking for you.
Where's one of the first places they're going to start looking for you?
Probably the parking lot.
Which is why you want to tell somebody what vehicle, tag, because that's where the first place they're going to take. Mm-hmm. And you might want to get more descriptive on your boat and That sort of thing, because Mom would say it's red glitter.
Yeah. If we ever went missing, Mom would say, well,
it's
a
red glitter
sparkly boat. That's about all I know.
But those are some good ones. But
and
yeah.
really important stuff, too. You can never be too careful. You know, now pretty much everybody has a cell phone on them, but sometimes that you're not in range or something like that. You just want to be – you want to take those extra – steps of precaution in case something were to happen.
And this is where when we get Mr. Abetta from Towboat Charleston back on to talk about ICO, the ICO app, mm-hmm. It's going to be really cool. We got to get that done. I told him we'd get back in touch with him in May, and here we are at the end of May. And are we going to fish that tournament down in Murray next weekend?
I'd say we will.
You want to?
I do.
Okay. Well, anyway, the ICO app is really going to come in handy, not only just for boaters, but for anybody that goes outdoors at all.
They're hunting or fishing.
Yeah, and he sent me. I was he posted up on Facebook the other day. He was out fishing. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And he sent me a link through ICO because I have the app on my phone. So therefore, he designated me as his emergency contact. And he said, now trace me. And I went on, and I could look and see exactly where he was. But that information doesn't go any further. It's not stored or tracked or anything else unless there's an emergency and all. It was really cool. Like, he actually sent me a picture. It was not very nice because they were out fishing. I mean, Charleston. I mean, that's just
like
just twist the knife
face.
A little bit harder, you know. Twist it back and forth a couple of times. But anyway, the ICO app is going to be really cool when it comes to some of this stuff, and it won't replace it, but it will be another one of those things you can use, a tool.
Exactly.
One thing you want to watch out for when you're boating is the weather.
Definitely.
You know, and like you said, most people have a cell phone. Most people have a weather app. I mean, what is iPhone comes with one, and I stow it because I can't stand their weather app. I like AccuWeather. So
I think I have three different weather.
Yeah, I mean, there's three or four on here, and some of them I like and some of them I don't like. But, yeah, always be aware of the weather. I mean, look before you go. Check it during the day because, you know, as the summer heats up, weather can change. Thunderstorms pop up in the afternoon. So always be aware of the weather.
Some other things I have circled here. Check the fuel and battery charge, because that is one thing you do not want to find out when you get all like, oh, I should have charged my boat last night, or I should have checked the fuel tanks.
That's for a short day.
Yeah, a very short day and a very long wait if it's not a good, you don't have
yes.
a boat.
Yes,
long day.
That's where your towboat membership comes into play.
A very short fun trip, but a very long day.
Yes.
Also, if you're going out before daylight, make sure your lights are good. Don't be like John Cox. But he did have his lights working. He just didn't have them on. I swear that will stick with
him. Where was that?
Oh,
that was
boy.
A classic.
That was the classic on Hartwell.
Was it on Hartwell?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I can.
John Cox.
Running lights, please.
No, running lights, please. Was Trip.
Yeah, it was
Trip Weldon yelling well, John Cox.
He was like, ladies and gentlemen, your 2016
FLW champion, something like that. Yeah.
I was like, that will forever haunt him. He will never live that down.
And he'll laugh about it. He's the kind of guy. He's so funny.
Yeah.
One thing, if you're in a boat, your motor shut off device.
Yep.
Something that in the past I have used randomly, not all the time. My flats boat, normally, I mean, you had to have the kill switch engaged to get the motor to crank, which is most boats. But as far as attaching it to me, yes, sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. With this one, whoever's driving will have a life jacket on and will have the lanyard attached to the life jacket.
Yep.
That is non-negotiable. So it's just one of those things, you know, if you're out there, especially by yourself. You know,
yeah.
Something happens, you get knocked out of the boat, and the boat's still running, and it rolls over and turns into you something. This will prevent it.
Yep.
It's a done deal. When the thing, shut off switch goes off, the motor goes off. So, that's a good one to remember.
It is. Another good thing to remember, please put the plug in your boat. Please, because we made that mistake one time, and it was almost bad.
Yeah, it was.
John Fuss's boat. Weren't we in his boat, and we took it out down to Charleston somewhere?
We were going shad fishing on the Cooper River
at
Panopolis. And yes.
Dad, why is there water coming in the back of the boat?
Oh, no. You put the plug in.
No.
Oh. We didn't have a plug. We used a Walmart bag.
That's right. We did.
I stuffed the Walmart bag through it and came up with a temporary plug.
That is. That's right.
Yep. So check the plugs. That's exactly. A good one. What else you got?
Another good thing to remember is put the trailer safety chains on. Because then you really, you know, if you want to remember to put the plug in, you got to get there first.
Yeah, and you don't want that trailer going off on its own down the road.
That's like one of my worst nightmares.
That'd be good, yeah. So, but anyway, just a few things to go along with what Henry was saying. You know, another one, if you're going to be offshore, a marine radio is a must. Spot or something. First aid kits, something to think about. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're fishing or using knives and stuff like that. What's that? Clot? Quick clot is a good thing. I've got it in all my hunting packs and all. It'd be a good thing for you. So that's boating safety. Mm-hmm. Safe boating to all of you.
Yep.
And to us, because we're going to fish. We have been fishing. We're going to fish some more. Gosh, I really don't have time to do this one justice. But here we go. Memorial Day. It's an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, honoring the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. This year, it's Monday the 25th. It's originally known as Decoration Day. It originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries and memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. Unfortunately, it marks the beginning, unofficially, marks the beginning of the summer season. Now, like I said, it started back in the Civil War. They think it actually started in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. But the federal government, in 1966, declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. That's because they celebrated it back in 1866 with a community-wide event, blah, 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 blah. So it's different than other holidays where you honor servicemen. This is honoring those who have died in the service. And I was looking the other day, you know, a penny on a grave, oh, I forget what it was. A penny on a grave said something. A nickel said something else, that you were a serviceman. A dime means that you were in the same branch or service as somebody that died, and a quarter meant that you knew that person.
Oh, wow.
And some people go through, and if you see coins on top of graves of soldiers, pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, then that's the relationship. I saw that the other day. I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So that's Memorial Day. It is to honor those who have died defending this country, you know, whether it be from Civil War, World War I, to Vietnam, Korea, all those. So keep that in mind. If you're out there having a good time, remember why you're having a good time, why you're able to have a good time, and it'll change you. All right. Well, let's take a break. Come back. We got a few more things for the last segment. And, y'all hang through the break, would you? Here towards the end of the show, trying to keep you awake. You're dragging me down.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say mellow. Trying to some kind of surfer.
Not hardly.
Dude, yeah. You could work a cookout, Dad.
I could work at cookout. I can't believe you said that. I like cookout shakes.
I don't like their food that much.
I like their shakes.
Oh, their food.
Eh. Kind of on the fence about the food. It's okay. It's cheap, but it's not cheap. Very good.
Oh, I think it's good.
Okay. Well, generational thing here.
Okay.
I want to go fishing.
I want to go fishing, too.
Went fishing last. Put your boat in the water.
We did.
Last, yes. Put your boat in the water. How was that?
It was so good. It felt so weird.
Yeah?
Because it was my first time pretty much ever, except on my first Shimano shoot, running a trolling motor.
Yeah?
And it was...
And driving a boat wide open, too.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You get ahead of you.
That's just, I mean, just being in full control of the trolling motor, and then we stepped it up a notch by me driving it, and it was terrifying, but I liked it.
You drove the flats boat a little bit, but it's different there because it's a flats boat. It's, of course, a center console. Mm-hmm. It's 17 feet long. But it's got built-in trim tabs. Mm-hmm. So when you trim the trim tabs down, there's no hull rise.
Yeah.
There's no bow rise to my flats boat. It just hops up on plane. It's almost instantaneous. And you had a little time there with the bow coming up, blocking where you could see.
Like,
and all. You shut it down once on me, and I was like, oh, come on, Taylor. Get in that throttle. Stay in it. Quicker you get through, the quicker it'll break, go over.
You really don't realize how fast you're going until you're off plane. Like when you're still on plane, but the nose comes down. You don't realize how fast you're going. I was like, whoa, so I like overcorrect on the throttle.
I came off plane.
Whoa, I'm like, go for it again. I was like, the people around me are probably like, what in the world?
No, they're not.
What are you doing?
No, we weren't in that much traffic area. But yeah, went down to Hartwell, Browns Road, put in, fished back up the creeks a little bit, caught a few, and had a good time. Which brings up something that Patrick Walters does with his tackle that I did with ours. And
I thought it was the weirdest thing, but...
What'd you think?
It worked out really good.
And what I'm talking about is soft plastics. Mm-hmm. And I've fished on a lot of guys. I've fished with a lot of guys professionally. Well, not me fishing with them professionally. I've fished with a lot of professionals. Oof, let's get that right, because I am not a professional fisherman by any stretch. And I've seen a lot of different storage, how they do things. Most of them have gallon Ziploc bags with things in gallons. And every once in a while, they can't find the right one, and they're just, and they're digging through these rod lockers looking for baits and all that. And a lot of them have it very well organized in plastic boxes. And when I was with... When I went down last spring and fished with Patrick Walter down on Santee, we were in the little boat. We were in the 10 boat. And he had everything boxed up. All his Zoom stuff was in boxes. And I was like, why do you do this? Well, I can tell when I'm about out of something. It's real easy for me to know. It's not like I think I have another bag on the boat somewhere, but I can't find that bag. I know exactly how many I've got because here's what I've got in my box. And I don't waste time looking for more if I run out because I just ran out. So when we were getting your boat, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a leap here, and I'm going to put soft plastics in plastic boxes. Now, they are waterproof.
Yes.
They are waterproof Planos, not the new Edges. They're the old, you know.
But they still work.
They work. I bought a bunch of them. A bunch.
I think he had two stacks of them.
I have 50-something of them.
Well, he had two stacks of them. And they were, like, up to his waist.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of them. I found them on clearance and bought a bunch of them. And now they're really paying off because we have them in the tackle storage lockers on the boat.
Yeah.
And I have labels. And what I did was I took Avery 5160s, for all you people out there who are like Word. And they're like the 3-inch by inch labels. And I printed them twice. In other words, I wrote them twice, skipped a line, wrote them again. So there's two labels, two written out like Cinco's, but it'd be twice on the same label. And I put one, as you're looking at the box, right side up on the left-hand side, and I put one upside down on the right-hand side. So it doesn't matter how you look into that box.
No, exactly what it is.
You can read something halfway upside, right side up, mm-hmm. or sideways. And I think it works.
It did. It saved a lot of time. I'm trying to figure out what you need.
And you don't dig through bags
exactly.
anymore.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing is you got a bunch of power bait stuff.
I do. I have a bunch of
She has a bunch of power bait stuff from Berkeley. And, of course, that's not going in plastic boxes. That stuff stinks to high heaven.
It was in my Shimano dry bag for a while, and I decided Shimano was too good for that. I took them out.
It aerated the house.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. I don't think you can do Z-Man plastics that way because of the way they're made. They interact with the plastic, but like Zoom, Stanley, their plastics, I know it, and Strike King plastics you can put in there too. So we did the plastic box experiment. So far, after one trip, I really like it.
Yeah.
You can't take everything. Oh. I'm like, I have two boxes of flukes, two boxes of trickworms. And let me tell you what, you can fit in a 4700 series Plano, 4700. 3700 is the size now. So 4700 is the big one, like 12 by 9 or something like that. You know, flukes will go three across, so you can get 3, 6, 9, 12. You can get like 18 or 15 different kind of flukes in a box. Mm-hmm. Cincos, well, you just have the middle divider. You don't get but 10, I think. So, it sometimes it takes more or less. The only thing that really doesn't fit on a is old monsters. Any, you know, 9-inch worms, they just don't fit right. So you had to make some adjustments for that. But yeah, that's one of those things you want to try. That's, like I said, I see a lot of professionals have the gallon zipper bags and they're labeled and all that. And hey, look.
If that works for y'all.
If that works for them, have at it. But when I saw Patrick did this, and there's a lot of others you'll see if you keep track, I think one of them that I've seen is, his name just escapes me, but he's, anyway, I think you can. You just look at their boats. If that center storage has got all nice boxes, then you know that's the way they do it. But then it just goes into hand in hand with having crankbaits in one and jerkbaits in the other and topwater plugs.
What you're not sharing.
Yeah, I have to share. There's certain things that I'm not allowed to use, and that's fine. I have plenty of my own.
Like my slide and pocket worms from Stanley.
Yeah,
you cannot use those. Those are mine.
Are your Stanley creature baits?
Yep.
Yep, that's right. So that's fine. You have your stuff, but yeah, I think it works. Good trip.
Very good trip.
Gonna go to Bowen here in the next week, and then if we fish that tournament in Murray, kind of get out there and see what's. Maybe we can give you some fishing reports.
Yeah.
Water's muddy right now. I can give you that one.
Muddy and it's up. Gracious.
Hartwell is like 3 feet up, I think. Bowen is over two feet. He's right at 2 feet up in orange. So there's your fishing report.
But we'll have many more fishing reports coming.
Many more to come.
Very soon because we have our own boat now.
That's right.
And if it's up to me, we'll be out there.
It's up to you if you get your schoolwork done.
I'll get you up even if you're tired.
Oh, I'm tired. Go ahead. This is one of those that just, it happens every year. And the funny thing about this one is that, I read the articles. I know it. If you don't talk about it, I will.
Okay. Well, it seems we have one of these accidents happen every year.
Oh, there's more than one here.
Well,
but
yeah.
This is what gets national attention.
Yeah. Yellowstone National Park just recently opened.
2 days.
Yeah.
Been open 2 days, people.
And there's already been an accident. And the headline is, woman injured by bison in Old Faithful area.
Wildlife is wild.
A Yellowstone National Park visitor was knocked to the ground and injured by a bison on Wednesday after she reportedly got too close to the animal. Too close as in 25 yards.
25 yards, which is about five bison lengths.
I was about to say.
That thing will cover that area in a hurry, folks. Yeah. You're not going to outrun a bison at that range.
And I'm sure she was just curious. And a lot of people are curious. But you have to remember, this is wildlife. You are in their house. They're going to be like, you're too close. You're my personal bubble.
That's right. You're my personal space.
Exactly.
And they look at you're a threat.
Mm-hmm. You are, because this is their home.
That's right.
This is their territory.
And in places like Yellowstone, they get so used to people that, you know, the interaction is so close. It's the same out in Estes Park, Colorado, with the elk. And every year, people get chased by the elk. People get knocked by the elk. You know, you got to remember, they're still wild.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Wild animals are wild. I don't care how docile they look, they are still wild. If you go up there to Cataloochee and hang out with the elk in those fields and all, just be aware, those are wild animals. When those bulls start running cows, get out of the way. They'll knock you down. They don't care. They're after one thing. They're after a harem and, you know.
And even after this accident.
Yeah.
the park's emergency medical providers got to the scene, and the woman said, "I refuse transport to medical facility." So, just a little advice. Just don't. The park said no more than 25 yards distance in between you.
And this is, you know, we were in Alaska in Denali. They were saying don't get any closer than 125 to 150 yards or more from local wildlife if you saw some. So anyway,
you just gotta keep in mind that they still are yeah. Wild. Yep.
And if you needed any encouragement to get outside, Fox News headline: vitamin D levels may impact the coronavirus. And vitamin D is sunshine, in essence. And you know that they were using sunshine as a cure for the 1918 Spanish flu?
Wow.
Did not have any vaccines or anything, but one of the recommendations was to get outside. Do you really need a study to know that getting outside is good for you?
Nope.
Don't wear a mask either, people. Outside, breathe in that fresh air.
Yep.
One of the best things for you.
It is one of the best things for you.
All right. Well, hope you everybody has a safe Memorial Day holiday. Get out there and enjoy yourselves, but be safe. Yep. Keep those...
Be responsible.
Yep. Keep the boat pointing in the right direction, so to speak. And as always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. We'll be back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't just like a friend of mine. You hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone to Carolina.